This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
All right, Michael, we got a short show today because we're sending it over at 12:30 to the Rockies broadcast, which will start an epic day of Colorado sports. Could we potentially see the Rockies get a big dub today, the Avalanche get a big dub today, and then the Nuggets get a big dub? This could be a wonderful night setting up for a very positive Friday. So look for the Rockies could win a series, another series. All I got to do is take care of business today. Let's get into it. The whole show starts now. After the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome in to the whole show. Mike, we're on for an hour and a half today, so we're going to have to pack a punch. And to do that, we have great guests. We have Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And I want to talk to him about his conversation with CSU Athletic Director John Weber about the urgency for the Pac-12, the urgency for the Pac-12 to be solid as soon as this upcoming season. So what does that look like? We'll talk to Kevin, get some of his thoughts on the discussion surrounding college sports. This week, there's been a ton from guys like Ross Dellinger at Yahoo Sports. So we'll get into that. It is a big, big night tonight. It starts off today. The Rockies, we got the rubber match between the Rockies and the Padres beginning at 1:10. We'll be airing that here on the station. Rockies win again last night. Again, I mean, they're 10-15, got our 10th win as a part of our Dirty 30 quest. Those of you that haven't been following along, we're not shaving our faces or cutting our hair, Tanner Schwint and I, until the Rockies win 30. We're now needing just 20. I mean, the Rockies didn't win 10 games until pretty late into the season. So we gotta feel good, and you get today. I mean, I think there's a realistic shot the Rockies could get to the point where we're in the teens by the end of April. We'd be feeling great, man. We might wrap this thing up by the end of May. Who knows? It's not as exciting on the beard front for people that have followed this, because last year we looked like Grizzly Adams. But, you know, I'll take it. If this is what it takes to spur on the Rockies to being a successful franchise, then you're welcome, Colorado fans. You're welcome. We're doing our part. But the Rockies do. They win last night. Sugano was pretty good. I mean, they win 8-3, gave up a run early, and then the Rockies went off in the bottom of the second, had four runs, and just maintained that lead throughout the game. So, pitching has been pretty solid for this team. Hunter Goodman had himself a night. That was kind of cool to see with three hits and a home run. Sugano in this game last night had four strikeouts. It wasn't quite the Chase Dolander night, who had nine strikeouts the other day and when in the 1-0 loss to the Padres, but this is what you want to see. Guys just hitting, having fun, lockdown pitching. Chase Dolander from the other night, his confidence is growing. He was asked, what has he learned about himself during this early part of the season? Flat out said, deadpan. He's like, that I can dominate any lineup. But that's what you want. You want your pitchers to have the utmost confidence. And certainly, the Rockies are playing with that right now. Again, 10-15, 7-5 at home. Not amazing, but much better. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want to get into, I'm watching this Rockies game, kind of going back and forth. And, I am paying attention to the NBA playoffs. I'm paying attention to, you know, these other teams wanting to see the Spurs lose a couple in their series, wanting to see the Thunder lose a couple in their series. Probably not going to happen in the OKC Phoenix one. I know Portland and San Antonio are tied at 1-1. Wimby went down. It's a big reason why that happened. I can't imagine Phoenix stealing one of these, but now they take the series to Phoenix. Maybe that will help. But OKC wins last night 120-107. I'm sorry. I mean, Thunder fans probably just absolutely hate every fan base in the league outside of OKC because we're all seeing it and we're all saying the same things. It's not just Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's everybody on the Thunder. They're getting these ridiculous calls. There was a moment in the game where Devin Booker goes to save a basketball. He sprints to the bench to save a basketball, throws it in. I think the ball hit one of the Thunder players. Booker wasn't looking where he was throwing it. His head was facing the bench, saves it. He gets fouled, but before that, he saves the ball. And you actually, Alex Caruso looks at the official and tells him to tee him up. And the referee does. He gives Devin Booker a technical. And then on top of that, you have Shai. You know, he got to the line 9 times last night. That's not even, you know, normally what he gets. And there's other guys that are beating him. And, you know, Luka goes to the line more than him. But I just think when you watch the two play, there's just an obvious difference in the way Shai plays and the way he draws a foul. He pushed a guy off and knocked him into Narnia, and they call the foul on Phoenix. Here's Devin Booker, and I think Jalen Green was sitting with him at the end of the game. Here's Devin Booker talking about the technical and just talking about overall the officiating in this game last night, calling out one by name.
You're aware of this, but even the broadcast was confused by your tech. What was the explanation that you got?
I still haven't got one. It's definitely something that has to be looked into. I heard Caruso tell him to call the tech, and, you know, he ended up doing it. So that's one ref. In my 11 years, I haven't called a ref out by name, but James was terrible tonight, through and through. It's bad for the sport, bad for the integrity of the sport. You know, people are going to start viewing this as a WWE, you know, if they're not held responsible.
So, calling out the referee by name, calling out the referees anyway is going to get you a fine. Calling out the referee by name is going to get you a fine. But here's the thing. This stems from our conversation yesterday. Adam Silver is so busy talking about tanking. He just can't shut up about it. This is the problem. It starts in Oklahoma City. This is the problem, guys. And again, the Devin Booker technical foul wasn't really part of the theme of what's plaguing the NBA, but it just goes to show you officials are quick to blow that whistle anytime they think the Thunder are going to be impacted. And I hate to be that guy. I hate to say, well, the refs are fixing games for them. I don't directly think the refs are fixing games, but why is it? Now, I've said this before. Oklahoma City, the way they play defense, they play such an aggressive style of defense, it's not as jolting to the system when you see contact. So I think that's part of the reason refs don't call fouls as much when you're looking at the Thunder. But the other way around, when they're on offense, I mean, Chet Holmgren is trying to go up for a rebound, and he's barely nudged, and he just falls to the ground as if Thor hit him with his hammer. We got to get a handle on this. I am no longer bitching about this, Michael. I am begging. I am pleading Adam Silver to do something about this because he is at a stage where he's getting on every bit of press and media he can, and he won't stop talking about tanking. That is not the issue. That's not the issue driving numbers. And I know the ratings or whatever, playoff numbers are typically pretty good. But when you have Chris Finch, Steve Kerr, you got several coaches, the Spurs coach, obviously the Nuggets, David Adelman's pretty PG-13 on that stuff. He doesn't seem to complain too much about it. But when you've got coaches and you're having on any given night respected players. Now, I know Dylan Brooks has a kind of a weird reputation in the league, but Devin Booker is one of the really, really good players in this league. Doesn't do a lot of complaining after the games. These guys are speaking out. While you're on ESPN and you're on Barstool, you're doing Pardon My Take, and you're just spewing crap about a cup and tanking and fixing the lottery. While your players and coaches are dying out there, they're begging you to fix this league. And this is all you can come up with. Dylan Brooks brought us back last night, man. So Dylan Brooks, also for the Suns, you know, had himself a pretty good game last night. 30 points for him, 6 boards. He fouled out late. Here's what Dylan Brooks had to say about how the Thunder play basketball.
I know you were guarding Shea for at least the first 3 quarters of the game, and you got in foul trouble there. Just, you know, what is it like having to guard somebody like that, and then how do you, I guess you could say, have to defend better without fouling?
A little frail. And that's what the rest are going to call. I got to be smarter about it, but, you know, this is playoffs, a man's game. I used to watch this back when Michael Jordan was playing or whoever else, when LeBron was younger. Like, it's just physical basketball. Like, I don't get why all the dropping, flailing, and flopping, and flailing, and all this stuff is allowed when we get to the playoffs. Like, leave that for a season, like, for the fans. This is about who's the better team, who's the more witted team. Like, don't decide the games on no free throws. Like, I gotta look back at it and see if they're really fouls, but all I know is when I be watching, when I was out for the playoffs, or I've been in the playoffs, or I be watching from before I was in the NBA, it's straight physical. It's straight low scoring, physical basketball, and you gotta score the basketball to win, or get stops to win. Not this fairing and going to the line and stoppage of play, like, gotta fix that.
What explanation do you get from the officials when you have that conversation with them?
I can't. I got to ask somebody else because I get too rowdy. And all they want to do is, oh, that's legal. I never saw, or this or that. It's a bunch of excuses. That's why y'all should be interviewing them. To be honest, it's what Adam Silver. Let's get some interviews for the chief that's out there, because accountability needs to be shown out there. Honest, so we can actually see or hear what they have to say about the game.
Yeah, there's Dylan Brooks. He's entertaining. Brooks is the guy that'll stare down a dude in warm-ups, you know, just stand there like the Undertaker and stare. Some people love it, some people kind of hate it. I tell you, he'd look good in a Nuggets uniform in this Minnesota Timberwolves series right now. He's not wrong about anything. He's not. Listen, you're listening to a guy that loves basketball. I love the NBA. I'm a big-time Nuggets fan. I'm telling you, as a diehard fan, this game is crippled. This game is struggling. And when you have players and coaches calling it out on a nightly basis, regular season, now the playoffs, listen up. I think they need to make a change at the top, and they won't, because Adam Silver's finding ways to bring them money. He is the worst commissioner in all of sports. At least Rob Manfred's trying something new in baseball. Adam Silver's new ideas involve carrying the 4, dividing the fractions, and adding a bunch of crap that nobody's really interested in. We just want you to fix what's actually happening in front of our eyes on a nightly basis. Yes, Michael.
Is he just afraid of the referees union? I mean, does he think that they're too powerful?
No, Mike, this isn't even a referee thing. This is the league. They sit down with the referees in the offseason and tell them what we're going to be putting an emphasis on. And the fact that it's not, hey, guys, we need to get a hold on the flopping thing. We're getting a bad reputation. Kids used to practice. When Steph Curry stormed onto the scene, kids would, he could launch threes. So what did kids do?
Wow. They went for threes.
Steph Curry's like freaking awesome. He's one of the most popular athletes in sports. I want to be Steph Curry. Some people said that ruined the game. That's a far cry from where we are now. So kids would learn how to shoot the basketball. Now what kids see is, how do I get to the line? How do I get to the free throw line? If as a young kid playing sports and I can up my PBG and I'm getting to the free throw line and, boo, wow, that's going to help me out make varsity when I get into high school. If I can get to the free throw line 10 times a night, man, I'm suddenly up at 20 points a game as a high schooler. That's going to give me a shot to get a scholarship. Oh, wow, I keep doing that. This is what is changing in the league. Dylan Brooks talking about guys he watched like Michael Jordan. And note that he said early LeBron James days. That's before we were doing this. Flopping's always kind of been there. Just not like this. When you see Shea, watch the sporadic movements that his body makes when he's fouled. And I'm not saying Nuggets players are innocent of this. They're all guilty of it. Joker does it too. He also gets absolutely hammered down there. So there's some cases where I don't blame the guy. Because he gets done with games. He's got Julius Randle literally pressing into his rib cage, pumping, 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 and they don't call that. Yet, if you go up and you fake a guy out and he's in the air and you lean your shoulder into him and then just throw some crap shot up, it's not a natural basketball shot. And I think that's something that should be reviewed in the NBA. Was it a natural shot or were you seeking contact? That's the question. If you're seeking contact, we ain't calling it. If it's a natural basketball shot and you're fouled, but no more. They got rid of the leg kick out. That's one thing. But no more when you pump fake a guy and he goes up in the air, lean into him and then shoot it. No, you can't create the contact. I'm tired of it. And Shea does this thing where he goes up, and if there's anybody guarding him, he will weave his fingers and hands in through their body and then go up in the air and flail like wacky waving arm inflatable tube man. And he's just, blah. We have to fix that. We got to fix it, Mike. It's my damn game and we're ruining it.
Should they be reviewing these things in the middle of the game? Because that's going to slow it down. Or should they do it after the game and say, you know what? You get a technical foul. So, like, you don't get it in the game, but you get it post-game. And that counts towards your 16.
Here's a simple plan. Hey, it's July. We're having a retreat. No, Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini are not invited. We're having a retreat, and we're going to sit down with the officials. Guys, here's the problem hurting the NBA. You can't fix tanking, but we can fix this. We have to find a way to stop calling unnatural-looking plays, foul calls. If the guy is seeking contact, if the guy is flailing his arms, going up and forcing a defensive player to foul him almost, it's like they're grabbing their hand and slapping their face with it. We have to fix that. Suggestions, ideas, because we're getting a reputation now that's beyond what it was 10 years ago. When 10 years ago it was kind of flopping, now it is ridiculous. And the Thunder are leading that. The Thunder get away with it more than anybody in the league, and I don't know why that is. Because it's not just Shea. It's everybody in this league. Texter from the 970, free throws, especially in college, win games. UNC needs to work on their free throw shots. Yes, I'm sure they do. Yes, Michael.
Do you know why they get away with it? It's like the Chiefs. The Chiefs got away with it, too.
But nobody wants to see the Thunder. I say this. The Chiefs aren't as hated as the Thunder are, I don't think. I don't think the Chiefs are being accused of ruining the game. Now, Patrick Mahomes was in that territory of the way he would do his little jog out of bounds. I'm faking like I'm going out and then get popped because he's seeking that, right? That's very much like a basketball play. He's seeking the late hit. And the refs kind of slowed down on that this year. They did. But it was Tom Brady getting those calls before Patrick Mahomes, if you remember, when they were in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, it's the good teams getting away with that stuff.
It's frustrating. We've got to fix it. And Adam Silver, you're the guy that's supposed to do this. And it's not even the refs. Like, I don't know why we're calling a technical foul on Devin Booker for saving a basketball from going out of bounds and throwing it in. If I go and save a basketball and throw it in and my head is away from the court and I throw it in and it hits you in the face, tough. I didn't mean to do that. I threw the ball in, hit you. Tough cookies, man. I woke up pretty furious listening to Dylan Brooks, listening to Devin Booker, and I'm not a Suns guy. I'm not a big Suns fan at all. Like, you know, that was the Suns in four. You know, that Devin Booker was a part of that. It pissed me off. But I'm 100% on Phoenix's side on this. And the Thunder, if they go, you get Shea the MVP, you go win a championship this year, that's your representative. That is your representation of your league. Who's the first thing? the first thing we look at when we say who represents your league? Well, who won the title last year? Who's the best player in the league? Those are two big things that we glance at when we talk about who is the face of the NBA. And the face of the NBA is the Oklahoma City Thunder right now. And if it ain't the Nuggets, I hope it's the Spurs. I hope somebody else can beat this team and do it in a different way, because I'm tired of it, man. I'm not complaining anymore. I'm begging Adam Silver to do something about this. If I hear one more freaking podcast with him talking about tanking, I'm going to lose my mind, Mike.
You know, I absolutely agree. I'm seeing all of this in sports. I was watching the Dallas game last night, the Dallas hockey game. And there was, one of those players did get away with something. And hockey has an embellishment penalty. And I've said this before, I would love to see that in the NFL. Yeah, they used to have something like that in the NFL.
Put in the NBA and put in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. Do that. I know it's going to make it tougher on referees, but put a guy in the booth, let the guy in the booth deal with that. Make it a 5-yard automatic first down or a 10-yard penalty if it's on offense.
26 minutes after the hour. We got to take a break here. We got Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado one. Faith, if they don't get a handle on this, it will continue to ruin basketball because it's trickling down to youth league players because they emulate what they see NBA players do. Faith, it's already happening. It's already happening. I've seen video. Go look online. You see youth videos all the time of these kids. They look like Shea out there. They're doing the exact same thing. Let's take a break. We got about an hour left, Mike. That's how we popped through the first half hour almost. Bringing it, packing a punch. Nuggets, Timberwolves tonight. How we feeling, Nuggets Nation? Avs, Kings? Are we going to have the trifecta again today? Rockies, Avs, Nuggets? Make for a fun Friday, Michael? I hope so. We'll be right back.
Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Aaron texting, and if the NBA wants to curb flopping, it should be reviewable. And if deemed they have committed the foul, every player from the opposing team on the court gets to take two free throws. I just think embellishing should be a technical foul. If you flop, whatever we want to call it, I think we need to tighten unnatural shooting motions. Even Joker gets away, you know, he tries to do that thing at half court where if he gets contact, he just throws it up. Well, a lot of times it's still a natural shot. It's when it's unnatural and they're just throwing it up once they get some contact. We got a lot of work to do. And it's going to be hard when you got a commissioner that has no interest in that. Let's fix tanking. That's not even top five, bro. That's not even top five of the issues plaguing the NBA. 31 minutes after the hour, just how big will it be next year for the Pac-12 to find some success? Not just CSU, but the entire new group of football programs. With all these talks going on about the G6 playoff potential and adding more playoff teams to the CFP, how big is this year coming up for the Pac-12? Kevin talked with Athletic Director John Weber about that the other day, and we'll get some of his thoughts coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Big day coming up, starting with the Rockies, right here on KFKA pregame at 12:30, and then we'll have the game for you at 1:10. Avalanche looking to go up 3-0 in the series. The Nuggets looking to go up 2-1 in the series. It's a crucial night, critical day in the world of Colorado sports. How critical is it for the Pac-12 to be good quickly, as soon as next season? Kevin Lytle joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline. He is our CSU Rams insider. Kevin, I read your recap of your conversation with John Weber in the Colorado. Great stuff from you. Excellent conversation, man.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're now, at this point, it's like 70 days or something until CSU is officially in the Pac-12. So it's coming fast all of a sudden.
What I loved the fact that you were talking about the urgency of finding success, not only for CSU, but the Pac-12. I mean, this week, we're seeing so many different conversations being had. One of those that popped up was the idea of a G6 standalone playoffs. And obviously, you know, us following CSU, we don't want that. We want CSU and members of the Pac-12 to have a legitimate shot at the table. Did you guys get into that at all?
No, didn't get into that at all. I think that's a... Yeah, I don't think there's anyone, I shouldn't say anyone, but I don't think there are many people that have an appetite for that, because that would be creating a separation from P4 to the others without maybe officially creating it as a new division. But that's what it would be doing. And yeah, I certainly don't think anyone, like I say, probably many people in the G6 period, but especially in the Pac-12, have interest in that. But we did not officially get directly into that discussion.
And it's still just such a far-fetched idea that it's not, you know, probably something worth wasting time with John Weber at this point. But with all these conversations that are being had, expansion of the CFP, who will be allowed, automatic bids, that kind of thing, I mean, it certainly would be huge if the Pac-12 comes out swinging, especially in their non-conference play, and then makes for an exciting conference season, to have a fun one this year. I mean, that success is only going to lead to better possibilities for the Pac-12 in the future.
Yeah, I do think it is important for the Pac-12 to succeed right away. And, you know, again, let's call it how it is. The biggest, most prominent sports, you know, starting most importantly with football, and then in the men's basketball, and then a little bit in women's basketball as well. But I think especially football, man, the Pac, I don't want to say need. It's not like they're going to collapse if it doesn't happen. But it would really be good for the Pac to get that, G6 playoff spot next year in football. That would be kind of a shot across the bow, a marker, whatever you want to call it, of, yeah, we are still the fifth power. So you may not call us that, but we're the fifth power. That would be really important for the Pac to land. And, you know, from the conference sake, they don't care who it is. Anyone in the Pac, they would be happy with. Probably in some ways they would enjoy if it were like Washington State, one of the legacy members. But really the Pac just needs to have success, because there is a perception challenge, I guess, that they're going to fight.
Oh, no question. There is that perception right now. We know, and specifically for CSU, we know that's one of the reasons Jim Mora cited, hey, this is why I want to go to Colorado State, because we got a chance. There's a path in the Pac-12. So obviously the coaches in this conference certainly believe that their conference will and should get that seat at the table, whatever this looks like, if there is playoff expansion in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, for Mora specifically, he was at a place, UConn, that, yeah, you can't really make it. You know, UConn would have to go 12-0 and beat some top teams to even have a chance. Even that probably wouldn't do it as a independent. And I also saw some this week that I hadn't even realized, that their CFP money share is less than, you know, even other G6 teams, again, because they're not part of a conference. So for a lot of reasons, it makes sense why you wouldn't want, you know, to be there long term. Yeah, is CSU making the CFP? You know, obviously recent results would suggest no, but there is a path now for Mora and CSU, and that's what the Pac is trying to build.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. What else kind of stood out to you in your conversation with John Weber?
Ticket sales is one that I'm curious about,
yeah,
because, you know, ticket sale prices have gone up for CSU, you know, season ticket sales and all that, I think maybe for a couple of years in a row now. And so you see a lot of, you know, angst online. You know, some of these people, you know, some folks online try to say, well, you know, I used to have a group of 40 that all bought tickets. Now it's down to three of us. And, you know, some of the look at me moments. But last year they had the highest season ticket number that they've had since year one of the stadium. Year one was the high water mark, not surprisingly, you know, just the excitement of new. And then it dropped pretty precipitously, pretty quickly through the rest of the Parker, Joe Parker era until it started rising back up the last 2 years. So it was a little over 12,000 last year, and Weber said they're at about 85% retention on that, which is a really good number considering the season is, you know, 3 months away or 6 months away, whatever it is, 5 months. So they're looking pretty good there, which in the rev share era, that matters. You know, ticket sales and attendance, all that used to be kind of like, yeah, it matters a bit for the department, but, you know, the general fan, like, whatever, who cares? But now when it goes to paying your roster, it does matter. So if you're a CSU fan, it has an impact. I mean, it's just important. It just flat out is. It's kind of weird and probably feels gross to some people, but it's the flat truth that, you know, the more butts in seats and money made, the better chance of a competitive roster. So that one to me stood out as an important marker for CSU that they're selling tickets pretty well despite some price increases.
Well, and it doesn't shock me that they're having a price increase either, Kevin. I mean, the price is going up for everybody to field a good team now. Programs are paying where they didn't used to pay before. You know, that money that used to just come in from boosters and advertisers and all that, that's not just going to the programs anymore. Those are going specifically to the players. So obviously their price went up. So it only makes sense. That's just that's the way of the world.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's just the way it operates now. And I mean, you know, you see some stadiums now are doing, you know, when you get your soda and your hot dog and, you know, there's the tip option. Some stadiums are now doing the tip options, round up to donate to, you know, whatever school athletic fund, that type of stuff. So it's just part of the game right now.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And, well, I'm getting excited. I know, like you said, we're getting to late April, man. It's not too far away from getting into the actual season with what, you know, to see what this Jim Mora era looks like in a very interesting, very serious time for Colorado State, especially on the football side of things.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Weber said of, you know, there's urgency, you know, not just for the conference, but for CSU. Mora has said it repeatedly as well of, you know, they're not looking at this as a year one of, you know, a sort of long rebuild. They expect to win right away. There's pressure on everyone. They think and believe that CSU needs to be winning quickly.
Well, Kevin, next time, you know, down the road when we chat, it'll be fun to kind of break into the Pac-12 and learn more about who these teams are. That's going to be tough homework for you, man, now more than ever, just to figure out who's got what, who got better, because there's just so many changes. But you're here for it, man, so we'll be looking out for it.
Yeah, definitely. It is crazy, the amount of change. I think the league is going to be really deep, too. I mean, I don't know who the, you know, bad team is. It's going to be challenging.
Last one for you, Kevin. Do you think we'll eventually expand the college football playoffs? Do you think we're going to get to that 24?
It sure seems like it's going to grow. So yeah, I don't know if it's going to get all the way to 24 or if they meet in the middle somewhere, but it sure feels like it's going to expand.
Yeah, I mean, when you just start seeing it every day, more and more talk about it, more and more meetings about it, it feels like that's what's coming up. Kevin, it's the trifecta today. The Rockies going at it at 110, looking to win a series. The Avs looking to go up 3-0. The Nuggets looking to take back control of their series with the Timberwolves. How do you think this day is going to play out, man? Are we going to be talking about three big dubs on tomorrow's show?
Ooh, it's going to be an interesting one. Totally forgot the Rockies were playing. Thanks for that note. The heart says the playoff teams go 2-0 tonight. The head, yeah, you know what? Forget it. Yeah, 2-0.
Yeah, there you go.
The Nuggets are going to respond to all that stuff. I think the Avs are pretty clearly the better team. I think it's just, is it a four-game or a five-game series is the only question there. And sure, I'll just say the Rockies win because, you know, why not?
Let's just throw them in there. You know, it's just for fun. Just throw them in there. Have a, you know, the beard's not out of control yet, Kevin, in our Dirty 30 quest here. So we're feeling ahead of the game with our race to 30 wins.
I say you're tracking way better than last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was Grizzly Adams. Like, my wife couldn't recognize me. My dog barked at me. People hated me. So hopefully I don't get to that point this year.
Yeah, exactly. You're on a good path right now.
Kevin, my friend, always a pleasure to catch up with you. When you want CSU information, Pac-12 information, this guy's the best. No question about it, man. We'll look to catch up with you next week, my friend.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Yeah, I do suggest it. If you're a Rams fan or you're interested in the goings on? Is that right? The goings on?
I'd say goings on.
Goings on. Thank you, Michael. Then Kevin's the guy. You got to follow this dude. He gets all that insight. He sits down with Athletic Director John Weber and gets a lot of great stuff for us to dissect and react to. And John talking about the urgency of the Pac-12 finding success next season. That would be a hell of a story, a triumphant story, Michael. Talk about a comeback story if the Pac-12 does become relevant enough in the next few years to actually be considered a power five, one of the in the power five of conferences. They're right now, they're like somewhere in between.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But if it does, I mean, you're going to have to be consistent. You're going to have to do what Boise State did.
Yeah.
Boise State, they are consistently good. You have to be consistent like that. You can't just have that one 2006, 2007 year. You have to be consistently going to bowl games every year and every now and then going to one of those upper echelon bowl games.
Yeah, no question, man. I'm excited. I mean, whether it happens or not, I'm excited to see what they come up with. This flex schedule that they're trying, it's appealing to me. I think you and I both kind of agree. It's interesting. We'll see
it's
how it goes.
It's interesting, and I think that more conferences are going to adopt that within the next 5 years.
Yeah, I do too. All right, 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got the Power Half Hour coming up. We got top stories of the day. Mike Vrabel's in the news again. I keep saying we're going to put it away, Mike, but there's more to it. There's even more to it. So we'll discuss coming up. We'll be right back.
Preps baseball can be heard right here.
Take me out to the ball game.
A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA. All of the lights.
Going to be on tonight, Michael, as the Avs and the Nuggets are taking center stage. I guess it depends on who you are.
It depends on if an Avs fan breaks the light.
Well, the Nuggets are going to be on Amazon Prime for most people, so you can't even do like the recall thing. Mike, I just miss simpler times where I could go, okay, here's the channel the Avs are on, here's the channel the Nuggets are on. Avs go to commercial, pop over to see the Nuggets. Nuggets go to commercial, we pop back over to see the Avs. But they can't make that easy, and it takes 4 hours to switch off of Amazon Prime to get back to regular TV.
I think the Avs are on TNT.
Yes.
I'm dynamite. So nope. You can get that on HBO
I'm
Max.
That on my phone.
And you can watch on Amazon Prime at the same time.
Avs will be on my phone, and because I have the DirecTV app on my phone. So I could watch direct. I could watch Everybody Loves Raymond right now if I wanted to, Mike. And then I'm going to have the Nuggets on Amazon Prime. Faith says, also here, UNC will get all of the lights for real this time. Yeah, we talked to Coach Lamb about that last week. Sounds, unless some kind of weird snag happens, Mike, there's going to be lights there as soon as next fall. There's a reason why if you go to their schedule every game, well, I guess most football schedules are still TBD, but they're going to be playing a majority of their games at night, at 6 o'clock at night. That's awesome.
Did his eyes light up when he was talking about that?
They do kind of light up, man. He's been a leader in this brigade, trying to get the community to buy in. And, of course, resources are tough to come by for UNC, so it's got to be independently funded outside of the school. And it sounds like, Mike, knocking on wood, sounds like it's good. Faye says, I'm tired of games being every which way. Just be honest. And TV. Also love Everybody Loves Raymond. It is an amazing show. I dare say, a generational show. It changed how we TV, Mike.
Everybody Loves Raymond is not a show.
Oh, it's an amazing television show. I think, again, it changed TV. All the great, like The Sopranos, The Boys, Game of Thrones, without Everybody Loves Raymond, those shows don't make it. Those shows don't survive. Everybody Loves Raymond set the tone.
I just triggered Faith again.
Why? Because you're talking smack about Everybody Loves Raymond?
And golf.
Why? How did you trigger? Okay.
Last hour.
Okay. Top stories of the day coming up. And yes, it is a Mike Vrabel story. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.